Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, we just want to give you glory in this place today, Father. We don't want to take your glory. We just want to give you glory. We want to thank you, first and foremost, for just allowing us to see another year. We appreciate all that you have done for us, how you have kept us in the right frame of mind and blessed our houses and our families and our jobs. During this drought season, Father God, you kept us, and we want to honor you for all that you have done in our lives. We done made mistakes, and you done covered the mistakes by your blood. We just want to thank you for that, Father. You done restored, Lord God, and repaired. We want to thank you for that, Father. Sometimes we don't act right, and you still love us. We want to thank you for that, Father. As we go forth to present this word today, Lord God, anything in any one of us that would hinder the connection between me and them and from us to you, Lord God, show us so we can ask you to forgive us for them right now, that the gateway will not be hindered. The doorway will be open, because we do need to hear a word from you today, Father. We need a rhema word, a strong word, an enlightenment word, a word to get down in our spirit and change our attitudes, that cause us to be a strong, powerful men and women of God. We yield to you. And Satan, we remind you that on this day you are defeated. Your works this year are defeated, and we're not taking that into the new year. We're taking our victorious movement in the new year, because we believe in our confessions, and we're going to walk our confessions out. And we stand giving God the praise in this place today. In Jesus' name, the people of God say amen. Come on, lift up your voices all together and give God a glory in this place. Hallelujah. Look at somebody say, I'm free to worship. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen and amen and amen, 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 amen. I'm telling you, I just got something just ringing on the inside of me. Hallelujah. First and foremost, I just want to apologize to everybody in here that have heard cliches after cliches inside church and not understand truly what the cliches that they've been saying numerously and over time, because you really put a deaf ear to them because they got on your nerve after a while. Anybody real with me for a few moments? But they took it and they dewatered something down by, because it sounds so good and so beautiful that when we hear it, we jump up because they say it, but not understanding what they say. And, you know, I just want everybody for a moment to deal with me on this one cliche and one phrases that I really want you to do it the proper way for a few moments before we go on. And it says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Just stop right there. Do y'all really, really understand what he's done for us? There's something about this phrase that really has some meaning. If I remember about what, if I think for a while and remember how he brought me out, how he helped me, how he was there for me. And I just want us to just spend a few moments in our minds to not reflect on 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, on this year. From January 1st, 2013 until today, of something, some of us, like me, is multiple things that God has done for you. Don't worry about what he done for somebody else. I don't want to know about nobody else's testimony right now. Forget that. Just go and recollect something in your mind right now of what he has done for you. Just one thing. Just one thing. Just one thing. Just one thing. And if somebody in here, because it may be, don't think that he has, or you can't remember anything he done for you, God bless you. Because I see something in each and every chair in here that what he done. My gosh, how blessed we are. Now, at the beginning or a year ago, did you think that you was going to make it? Sometime throughout that whole year, did you doubt whether you was going to be where you are right now? Did you give up hope? And then the next moment, he produced hope back inside of your bosom and told you you can go on when you didn't think you could? Wow! Ain't that amazing? Because all of us done said this, I can't take it no more. I don't want to deal with this junk no more. I'm fed up with it. All of us, one way or other, through our actions or our words, have said that statement out of our being. That's the reason why you should give God a praise. That's the reason why you should love him. That's the reason why you should rejoice. Because you're still here. And he's still keeping you. Slow your roll. Stop just doing things. Take your time in your salvation. Enjoy God. Enjoy your walk. Let me express something to everybody, and I'm going to preach in a minute, but I just want to talk to you for a few moments. We mess up so many times because we are concerned about what other people think about us. I'm a firm believer that all of your mistakes are good. And the mistakes you done made build character in your being. And we need to stop being ashamed of the mistakes that we are making. And if anybody want to judge you, trust me when I'm ready to make this next statement, because it is true, they're going to end up tripping over the same thing that they judging you on. That's why I don't judge folks. Because you'll end up tripping up in a heartbeat when you become judgmental of anybody else when they falling. This ministry is a place that is building itself to be a safe haven for you. I don't care what you're going through. It doesn't matter how bad it is. I don't care about you don't think that nobody knows what I'm talking about. All right, baby, it doesn't matter. My job is to breathe life into you. Is when you can't make it, is to resuscitate you and bring you back. That's all we want to do. I don't care about your current condition anymore. And if anybody want to talk about where you at, just remind them of where they was. Somebody help them. I'm ministering to somebody right now. So guess what? Right now, I want every individual in here to make it up in your mind that you're not going to take this mess with you next year. This is the last day of me trying to fake this thing. I'm tired of, how many of y'all are tired of faking your salvational walk? Come on. Look who's the first partaker of raising their hand. How many of y'all are tired of faking your salvational walk? Coming like you got it going on and you all this, that, and you know that during Monday through Saturday, you're a mess. But you know what I love about it? I may be a mess, but I'm blessed. I'm a blessed mess. Look at somebody say, I'm a blessed mess. I'm a blessed mess. You know why I'm a blessed mess? I may be going through something right now, but I'm being led through the wilderness by the Holy Ghost. God has called me to go through what I'm going through. He's trying to bring me out of what I'm going through. And I'm tired of being ashamed of what I'm going through to please you. So guess what? I may be a mess, but I'm a blessed mess. That was for somebody. Now I'm going to preach to everybody else. If that was for you, raise your hand strong. Don't be ashamed of it. There you go. Turn to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. I want to finish this today, if it's okay with you. So if I'm a blessed mess, what should I do? Look at somebody and say, just keep coming to church. Yep. That's it. That's it. Because this one right here was a mess. Oh, gosh. She keep coming there and look at her. I don't see too much mess. I see a lot of blessedness there, ain't it? Look at somebody say, I'm telling y'all, man, I'm changing. Look, if somebody going to talk about you, just get up and move to somewhere else by somebody else that's a mess with you, and y'all be a mess together. Guess what? It ain't about that no more, is it? We don't let too many people keep us from church. And why? God, man, I'm fed up with church folks. They need to go get a place of their own. That's what I'm talking about. Seriously, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about while you're turning to the scripture. Church folks need to go get a place of their own. Let us Christian folks that really want God have a place where we can worship God together. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, because I'm going to tell y'all something. By the end of next year, I'm believing God that those are going through heavily right now will not be going through at the end of next year. Then we can turn around and minister to others. My gosh. Because this is a blessed place. Amen. So I got to deal with you. What was my message last week? See? Thank you, Sabrina. I'm glad somebody pays attention to me. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baham. 1 Kings 18, chapter 19, verse. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophet of Baal 450, and the prophets of groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and say, how long have ye between two opinion? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remains a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of God, and the Lord will answer by fire. Let him be God. And all the people answered and say, it is well spoken. Now let's go down to the 30th verse. And Elijah said unto people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came and say, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, a great as would contain two measure of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the altar, and say, fill four barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he say, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came there and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O God, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord God, and thou art has turned their hearts back again. And then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen. You know, over the last few weeks, I've been really dealing with drought season. The reason why we are going through so much that we're going through in drought season is because God's trying to grab not only our attention, but people that surround us' attention. You know, one thing about God, when it comes to the things of God, he just does not only allow it to happen to the people that are in the body of Christ, nor do he allow it to only happen to those that are outside of the body of Christ. He allowed both people to experience the same events. A lot of people don't understand when the plagues that occurred inside Egypt, they occurred unto both those that was saved and those that wasn't saved. They happened both to the Egyptians and to the Israelites. They was both affected by the 10 plagues. The only difference was the children of that was from Israel, they was blessed because they had God on their side. And I think that we misunderstand the reason why God is causing things to occur in our lives. It's not that it's something that we have done, but God's trying to use us for an example to the people of the world of how to handle things so they can get interested in who we serve and they can ask their most famous question, who is your God? But the problem we having is we just want to live this walk again inside this realm of blessedness 24/7. And I'm trying to get this ministry. I can't get all ministry, but I'm trying to get this ministry out of the mind thinking that it's only God is only your God when he's blessing you. God is also your God when you are going through. And even when you're not successful going through, he still got a purpose, the reason why you are unsuccessful in your going through. I'm going to preach all by myself today. That's okay. I'm good because I want to preach this message to my bosom. And I think that what we're happening, we catch so many attitudes with God. We catch so much. I mean, when we catch our attitudes with God, then we turn our backs on God. When God's trying to help us and teach us and show us what he's trying to do, we turn a deaf ear to him, and we end up getting and staying inside mess longer than what God wants us to. So here we are. We're dealing with something that God has ordained to occur. It's called what? Drought season. He already told them what to do in drought season. He told them how to get through drought season. He told them how to prepare for drought season. He told them how to take care of himself in drought season. And he also promised them that he was going to sustain him until this day has come. Now we are at a pinnacle of Elijah's life that where the day of reckoning has his here, and God wants to perform something inside his life. He wants to give him back the years that the locust and cankerworm had destroyed. It's a reason why God place you in a position where you're at, on the job that you're at, in the neighborhood, because God is a show-off God. God is a God that likes to show off. He likes to take you down in muck and clay, get you all dirty, and then the next day clean you up and say, ain't nobody done it but me. God will take you from bankrupts up to a place where you are more, have more than enough. God will take you from the place of where you are sitting there with a mentally unstable to a place where you had a full right mind. God is a restorer. Look at somebody say, God is a restorer. God is a restorer. He'll take a marriage that is doomed, a marriage that is split up, and make love happen right back up inside of him. God is a restorer. Look at somebody say, God loves a mess. Because if you're a mess, he can make you a blessed mess, and he'll take you from a blessed mess to just a blessing. I need the other mic. And so our problem is because we want to constantly look good in front of the people. We want to constantly look good and pretty outward. We don't care about what's happening inward. I'm going to do something in this ministry, and I haven't decided when. We are not going to dress up, and I'm not going to allow anybody to dress up for about 2 months straight. Because we have this way of thinking that we got to look good to go to church. And it's so bad that that's our mentality. If I show off about how good I look outwardly, it don't matter what I got going on inwardly. I can be as funky as I possibly can. If I throw perfume on top of me and you smell the perfume and you stay from being close to me, you won't smell my underarms, I'm all right. Baby, all you got to do is take a bath. Clean yourself up. Don't worry about what you look like. If you clean to yourself and you're okay with yourself, I don't care what the next man think about you. And I'm fed up. I'm fed up. We are destroying the works of God and the movements of God because we constantly concerned about what people think about us. It have us lying to folks and lying to ourselves. you start believing your own report after a while. You know good and well you ain't got no money in the bank, but you want to go around and buy, Michael Kors coaches and all of this stuff. And you know good and well you ain't got no money in the bank, but you want to look like, and man, put it down. Stop. And it's so bad now. You know what is so bad about it now, Dykey? They'll take a counterfeit and try to portray it off to be the real thing. There's something wrong with this picture. You walking around with a counterfeit like you got a $2,000 purse. You don't care whether you're a counterfeit or not. All you're trying to do is portray something that you're not. And it is filtered into the church so badly. If you ain't got it, you ain't nothing. The devil is a lie. I'm more than what I have. So here we are. We dealing with the children of Israel that are in a turmoil. And the turmoil is based on this. They were people of two opinions. In other words, Sister Tawana, their mindset wasn't correct. They was really one way and trying to portray to be another. They was Israelites and trying to be Canaanites. They forgot about the God that brought them out. Just because the God that brought them out didn't seem visible for them right now, they wanted to mesh with those that they can see or the people of the land. We have to be very careful in drought season because we have a tendency to bark down from what God has said and start moving ourselves to the world way of doing things. We become manipulators. God wants me to keep a job. I'm going to keep a job any way I can. So we become backbiters. Because we are afraid of our next move in drought season. Because right now I got just enough. So now it's about what I can obtain, not what God can do. So let me stop coming to church and let me go to work. Because that's how you. So now, and I'm guilty of this, and me and God really been praying about this. I told God, I said, you know, Lord, I really have been more concerned about some things instead of doing the things of God. God, it's good. I one thing about me, say it strong. I'll tell you. I've been more concerned about obtaining work and doing work than doing the things of God. I've been letting the businesses of God inside this ministry falter and hinder because I've been so concerned about doing my work. And so we get to the place now my mindset got what? Two things functioning through it. And I'm going to tell you, when you got two things becoming and battling to be one in your mind, only one's going to win. And 9 times out of 10 is not the things of God. So they was confused. And most of us in here are confused right now. your responsibilities and your duties at church, only responsibilities and duties. Now, and this is the problem that we are having. Most of y'all, if it's a choice to going and doing something of God and doing something of the world, I'm going to be honest with you. The world's going to win 9 out of 10 times. You would justify the reason why you have to sooner or later. They were in a situation where because they didn't see God, and I love God, when you got two things functioning in your mind, he steps back. He do not want to influence your decision. And he steps back and lets you make your decision based on the two things alone. So when you do not feel God in your life, there is a major decision that you're about ready to make and he don't want to influence it. Most of the time we mess up because we forget about what he has done. And we forget his ways. Because we become a people, I feel the Holy Ghost now, that are instant folks that want it right now. What have you done for me lately type of people? And if God is not at our beck and call, he don't love us. And here we are, Elijah, who has came through and say, it is simply based on what I'm about ready to tell you, people. This is not about me. It's not about Baal. This is all came about for every last one of y'all. The rain God has caused to stop because he was fed up in your howling of the blessedness that he gave you. He put a cease to it in all the land to separate the wheat from the tarry. Now, because if it was raining, I couldn't draw a line in the sand. But now that it's dry, you can see the line. Either you were for God or you for Baal. Now I'm going to see where you at right now. Because usually those that are for the world needs to see the numbers. I feel like preaching this thing. Those that are for God walk by faith, not by sight. So now I want you to see 450 guards of Baal and 400 guards of the groves. And I'm going to stand by myself. Look at your neighbor and say, me by myself is more than 850. You better stop looking at the numbers. You better stop counting the census. You better stop worrying about who's on your side, who can pray with you. You can do it all by yourself if you know how to stand alone and understand the concept of God and who God is. You don't need to have everybody with you. I'm okay with being all by myself. I'll back up against the wall and fight my way out of it. If you don't want to be with me, that's okay with me. As long as the Lord is on my side, I know that everything's going to be all right. Hey, look at somebody say, stop looking at everybody. Stop thinking that everybody prospered. Stop thinking that everybody got it going on. You don't know what they got. You just going by what they showing you when they in public. But when they shut the door, like my daddy say, they put their pants on the same way that I do, one leg at a time. Hey, they ain't no better than you. They no better than me. They just showing what they got on the outside. But with the Lord's on your side, you are better than anybody. Elijah was by himself. So look at somebody say, it ain't about the numbers. It ain't about who being blessed first. He told them, there's two bullocks, you choose the best one. All day inspected that bullock. They raised him up, checked his hind parts, made sure that he was perfect, make sure everything about them. Hey, Y'all, some of us in here messed up because we feel like we got to rush to be blessed first. Some of y'all missing y'all blessing because you mad because somebody got blessed before you. You don't understand. The blessedness is not who got. The blessedness is what God do with those that are. Y'all don't understand. You remember Lot and Abraham when they fought and they fought something. They were fussing and they was fighting and they would. He said, hey, hold up. Don't worry about fighting. Let's do this. You choose which one you want. And I'll sit back here and wait on the side. And I'll wait till you choose what you want. And I'll grab what's left over. And the moment that when he told him, I got this one, Abraham, he said, okay. God spoke to him and said, don't worry about it, Abraham. You see what you got? I'm not only going to give you what you said you're going to have, I'm going to give you all that you can see. That includes Lot. Don't worry about it. I don't care who go first. When God is with you, the world that are last shall be. Look at somebody say, you can pick it first. You can do it first. You can make it first. You can be in that position that God called me to be in first. But baby, when it's my turn, there's nothing that you can do about it. I may not be blessed now, but my blessing is on its way. Yeah. I may be in the negative, in the red, and you may be in the black. You may be talking about me now, but I understand the reward of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. See, what y'all don't understand, whoever go first got to work it first. there's a new blessing out there. Look at somebody say, it's a blessing where you work it and I receive it. Build that building. We gonna move in it. Build that house. That's my house. Pay down half the mortgage. I'm gonna get it. Because I'm not worried about it right now. When God said, my time is here, whatever I want, he's gonna give it to me. All I have to do is wait. I say wait on the Lord. Somebody said, don't worry about who goes first. Next thing, he told them, separate yourself and do it your way. I feel like preaching this today, y'all. Y'all ain't noticed it yet. Too many of y'all want to do it the way they doing it. We want to dance like the world doing it. We want to have church like the world doing it. We want to have church like other church doing it. Let me help some of y'all out. And look at somebody, say, do it your way. The problem is, you go to that church, churches are all doing the same thing. I'm getting tired of the same thing, church. Huh? If God ain't moved back then in all them many years, why we think we're going to do another service? He's going to move now. Something wrong here. Only a fool keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's time to change. There's something different out here that God wants us to be in. There's a different move that God's trying to get us to go and do. But we are so hard-headed and so set on doing it the same way. He allowed them to take the bullock and cut it open, place it in the wood, put fire underneath of it and burn it. Hold up. Watch this. And I'm going to bless y'all if y'all pay attention to this. The first sacrifice ever been recorded in the Bible was done by Noah. Noah was a righteous man, correct? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all built an altar and sacrificed unto God. They all was what? Righteous men. Hold up. How did the unsaved know about a salvational move that was important to the people on this earthly realm? They seen somebody do it, and they seen the effects of it.
So what they did, they went on and adapted their means and methods and performed it. Hold up. Slow your roll, Pastor. I'm trying, Lord. Evidently, it had to work in the past in order for them to do it. Hold up. There's people in the world has taken the Christian principles and use it for their edification, and it's working. That's why you see a lot of these raunchy stars get up and say, I'd like to thank God. They understand the concept of giving. They understand the concept of giving. If I give, I'm going to be blessed. So they what? But where we mess up at, we get dumbfounded because we see them using something that is of God, and we see them being blessed in the past, and then we upset. Well, why did they get to be blessed? How they can? You don't hear me, God, when I do it, but when they do it, you are blessing them. Hey, it's okay. Let them do what they doing, because they gonna get, I want to say a word, but I can't say it, confidence that God, their God, is hearing them when it's the day of reckoning. Look at somebody, say, it's a setup for the world, not for me. That's why I can't worry about what they doing. I need to pay attention to what's on my side of the fence. I have no business looking at what's on their side of the fence. If God's allowing them to be blessed now, when it's a day of reckoning, he's going to use it against them, because they're going to feel so confident that what they have done in the past is going to work today that they ain't going to see the next move of God that God is trying to speak to in their spirit. See, there's a difference in doing stuff and repeatedly doing it and doing the next move of God. Look at somebody, say, God is the next move, God. And when you catch on to this and stop doing things the same way your daddy done, your granddaddy done, and do it the way God told you to do it, you'll get out your drought season. What do you mean, Pastor? We're going to see this. Do it your way. Separate it. It's not about the way church do it. It's not how long you do it. It's not about the dance. It's not about how loud you get. They did the four things that I'm saying they did. They had their church service around the altar from early in the morning to late in the evening. They were there all day long, dancing around the fire, burning their meat all day long. They were jumping up and down, yelling and shouting all day long. And I love Elijah. Hey, he can't hear you. Yell louder. Let me express something to you. When you get yourself in a position to be blessed while you're not concerned about what people do, when you place yourself in a position where you can laugh while you're going through, God's going to start speaking to you and tell you what to do. Now, are you finished? It's my turn now. Look at how different this was. This was the first and the only time that a sacrifice offering was done like this. It was a next move offering to get yourself out of a drought season into rainy season. Look at somebody say, you trying to do it the way you used to do it. That poor dance that you used to do, them cliches that you are saying that brought you out, is no longer working in your life. Stop being frustrated. Get on your hands and knees. Get by yourself and find out what God wants you to do. Stop running to the altar and asking, Pastor, because I don't know. There's a new sheriff in town, and that new sheriff is you. You control your destiny. You control your future. And you, with God leading, you are the author and the finisher of your faith. Watch this. This is where I get crazy at. You ready? He told them, and I'm at the 30th chapter, and I'm almost finished. 30th verse, I'm sorry. Watch what he said. Elijah said to all the people, come near unto me. I love God. Gosh, come on. Let me express this to you before I get in and finish this up. If none of y'all in here, or if anybody in here do not want God to show you off, say, Lord, don't use me for your glory. Whatever you want me to do, I do. Don't say them things. The key to this whole thing is, I want y'all to understand this. Elijah received nothing for his troubles. Gosh almighty. But the land did. Hallelujah. Sometime pastor won't receive anything, but the church will. Look at somebody and say, it's not about you. It's about all of us. I'm not finished yet. Even the unsaved. Wow, the ones that talked about you. The one that had the hit on you. Because you remember who prophets they was? The prophets of Baal, which was Jezebel, who sent the hit squad after him. And their people. Get ready. This is what you got to do, and I'm coming in. Three things. Y'all ready? You better write this down. You cannot get out of your drought season without doing these three things. And I'm coming in. And I'm going to be a while. I feel like this. It's my last sermon of the year. Might as well show off. So, Nene, give her a pillow. Let she go and sleep. Wake up about another hour. We be about finished. Nah, I'm just playing with y'all. Look at somebody. You ready? And say, the first thing we need to do is inside the 30th verse, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near to him. And what did he do? Hallelujah. That's our problem. We trying to get to God on a broken altar. A busted altar. Because it's hard to repair an altar. Some of us are waiting for our blessings so badly, we think that God is going to come see us. Don't make a difference which shape our altar is in. Hallelujah. Let me express to every last one of y'all in here. An altar is a place where sacrifice is done. It is the doorway of heaven to earth. It's the meeting place of divinity and humanity. That's why the cross became the altar. Why? It took everything from humanity, the crossbar, and it took it to divinity, the upward bar, out. It's the only doorway out of the earthly realm into the heavenly realm. It's the altar. That's why everything, when it deals with salvation, goes back to the cross. And everything in the Old Testament came forward to the cross. And the only way we can go is through the doorway. Do y'all know who the doorway is? On the cross. At the cross, where I first saw him. And the burden of my heart. There's only one way out of here. It is by the cross. So if that's the case, The only way that you can get out of your situation is by the altar that is in your life. So you cannot get out. You ever watched the movie Back to the Future? What is it, flex capacitor? It was that thing, as I'm saying, right? It was broke and they couldn't fix it. And they couldn't get out because it wasn't fixed. Some of y'all trying to get back when you got to fix your flex capacitor, whatever that thing called. Am I saying it right? Whatever. I'm me, so. Now, the word repair means to mend the thing that was caused by your faults. You have to mend that which you have placed in your heart about God when you've been going through your drought season. Youth is your attitude. Some of y'all got a serious issue with God. You blaming God. You don't understand what God was trying to do. You have an art against the God. And I love this scripture because if you got an art against your brother, hey, is Jesus Christ my brother? Yes, he is. Some of us got an art against Jesus and we ain't even going to him. Your altar is destroyed because your relationship with God is not what it used to be. That's why your prayers are not coming through. That's why your worship has no meaning. That's why your praise is self-performed. There's some unforgiveness in your heart and is destroying your altar. Repair your altar. Forgive those. How many times do you forgive your brother? Is Jesus our brother? Yes, it is. Yes, he is. 70 times. I don't know how many times I had a problem with God. Didn't even know it. I had a problem with God, just to let y'all know, because we still in this building after 9 years. And I felt that he promised me to get out here. He really shut me up on that one quickly. It's very easy because he has all the power. And if he can do anything but fail, why is he failing me? Who say he is failing you? He's not failing you. He's teaching you. That's why we mess up. Just because we fail on this earthly realm, we think that it's a failure. No, it's not. It's a learning lesson. That's why I'm so set on us next year to stop thinking like we used to think. If you mess up, oh well. It happens. All right, number two. He repaired the altar, right? 31st verse. He took 12 stones according to the number of tribes, the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel is. And with the stones he. There you go. You have to understand who's leading the charge. And whose name are you doing this in? If you was all by yourself, then guess what? You will fail, and you can fail. But if you're doing it in the name of God, he cannot. So if you're failing, you're really not doing it in God's name. And just saying it is not doing it in his name. You really want the money for yourself. You don't want the money to bless who God tells you to bless. You don't really want the car to pick up anybody that you tell me to pick up. You want it for yourself, and he knows his name. Yes. You got a hidden agenda in the motive. You're doing it in your own name. You're doing it for your own self, and you're not doing it for God. That's why our praise are not no good, because we're doing our praise in order to obtain something in the back. That's why our offering's no good. We're giving our offering to receive something in return. That's why our prayer is no good, because we want to do the prayer of petition. Because that's the only prayer that we got out there that we can get something back. We're not doing the things of God for him. He built the altar back in the name of the Lord, in remembrance of how God blessed his forefathers. God, I love my mama. And the old patriarchs that grew up beneath him. I grew up beneath her. I can go down to the list of all of my aunts and uncles, how God used them mightily. Not one, all of them. They got testimonies after testimony. And I'm supposed to use those as a base for my altar, but they're not my altar. The 12 stones was used as a base, but it wasn't his altar. This is a foundation that we are supposed to set our life upon. Hallelujah. But you got to build off to that foundation. Some of y'all are trying to live your life to please your parents. I know it's long, but that's okay. You got to leave, I understand. But don't leave before you get this. Number three. Y'all ready? He built the altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain. Somebody read that for me. Look at somebody say, your altar need to have a seed offering around it. We mess up because we do not plant a seed when we're going through drought season. What do you mean, Pastor? What kind of seed did they plant? Wheat? Barley? What were they looking for? What did they need, y'all? Anybody tell me what they need? No, what did they need? What was drought season? What did they need? Water. So guess what they planted? Y'all ready? Let's go on then. As the wood contained 2 measures of seed, and they put the wood in order, the bullock in pieces, and laid the wood on, laid him on the wood and said, fill. Go ahead. Yep. And they did it the third time. And what? And the water ran about the altar and filled. So what was the seed? The water. Hold on. What did they need it? What kind of faith it is to waste? What kind of faith it is to waste water? To throw water away. 4 barrels. And then when that was enough to fill the trench up, 4 more barrels. When that wasn't enough, how many more? 4 more, until the trench was filled up with water. Someone says it's a waste, ain't it? Is it? The world would say it's a waste. That's the problem. The world would say it's a waste, but God say, do it. That's why I cannot deal with anybody anymore that's going to tell me what God told me to give and how to give. That's why you don't hear me tell you. I don't know how much he told you to measure. I don't know how deep you dug your trench. I don't know what it's going to take to fill it up to get God's attention. But I do know this. That every last one of y'all, before you come out of your drought season, would have to perform a seed of that which you need and desire the most. That what is in the biggest drought of your life. If it's love you need, you better start. There you go. If it's happiness you need, if it's peace you need, you better start giving peace. If it's joy you need, you better start giving joy. Whatever you in biggest need of and you in the biggest drought of, if you learn to give that, until it hurts. Down to the place where all your barrels are empty and you have no more to give. It's God's job to do the rest. Beginning to understand that a lot of things I can do on my own accord, God do not pay attention to me. Y'all got to understand that I can easily light the wood. But when I pour water on it, when it becomes very difficult for anybody in the man-made, anybody in the man realm to do, that's when it's only God. God needs your situation to get to a place where no man can help you. No man can say that they lit it. Well, he may have snuck it when we turned around. Somebody put fire. When you get to the place where all, everybody around you, all the people that you know say, it's, ain't nobody can help them now. Hey, they done pour water on it. You can pour more water on it? Yeah. What do you mean? They pour more water on it. Yeah. What do you mean? Lost his job? Lost the car? Walking now? Lost the house? And in 6 months, they back. That's all you can say. Our problem is we're asking God to do things that we can do. Instead of allowing God to take us to a place where we know we can't do it. Number three is you got to plant a seed. And then you have to continue on to pour water on it until God tells you to stop. Don't worry about the condition. As long as you know that the altar has been repaired, God's got to meet you there. Stop looking at your bank account. Stop listening to them voicemails, bill collectors. Stop listening to what the doctors say. If God said it, that's it. Our problem is we believe and want everybody else to tell us stuff for God. When God is waiting for us to believe his report. God told me to tell everybody in here that your drought season is predicated on what you have learned here today. Then a situation that some of y'all are going to be in on your way out, you think you're going to be out, but is this going to be a shower? Because he's going to give you enough to see what you're going to do with it. Anybody been like that? You got just enough and you didn't do what you say you're going to do with it? I'll wait till the next one. And you lose. You always, did he just say Jesus? Hey, yellow baby. Another year, you're going to be preaching. Listen, whenever God brings you out, you have to give him his back. Some of y'all, can I be honest, Lady Margaret, with them? Some of y'all don't even come to church enough for me. And I'm not saying at the city. I'm talking about church in general. I can't lie about it. If this is supposed to be our worship service, the place where we come and assemble together, and then you want to justify, well, I'm having church at home, you ain't having no church at home. I listened to Jakes. Jakes gave you a stale word that he preached 3 weeks ago. It ain't today's word. It ain't the end day word. Let me minister to y'all. I have seen this on numerous occasions where I would go hear a tape that Jakes done preached and know about five or six preachers done preached the same tape that Sunday. That Sunday, because then it's an end time word. It's a word for that week. How many of y'all like leftovers more than you like fresh food? Let me express something to you. Some of y'all don't even have a relationship with God strong enough to get out. If I give you a scripture and give you and ask you what book was in, you couldn't even tell me because you don't read your word enough. If I ask you, was or one of these books that y'all have never heard me preach from is in the Bible, you couldn't even tell me if it was or not. Because you're not in your word enough. I'm sorry. It's time for me to get on you. You're walking around here on fumes constantly and wondering why. My relationship with God have to stay intact. I come in here and I love it when nobody in here and just spend time with myself. How many times you come in here? I'm in here. she'll tell you. V, I'm always up in here. It's not that it's because I'm a pastor. My time in here ain't got nothing to do with me being a pastor. It's my alone time. You heard what V said. He messed up my alone time. One night, Monica in here cleaning. I just ignore her and go in the back because that's her alone time. Y'all got to understand, if you're not spending time with the source of your removal out of your situation, you cannot come out. Let me ask every last one of y'all a question. How many of y'all have ever been in a relationship with somebody in your life, whether it be a boy or a girl, that you classified yourself as loving? Raise your hand. You can raise. What if it was a long-distance relationship and you'd only talk to them every 3 weeks? What's going to happen? But yet, you're on your job and it is this fine dude that's taking you out to lunch every day. But yet, you telling the dude, we just friends. My boo in California, he's, you know. Second day, you looking for him. Now you getting dressed just for him. You going to see V, get your hair done. Because it was getting a little bit of nappy in the back. Kitchen was beginning to form. Now you at Macy's buying a new outfit for next week because he's seen you in all the clothes you had. But you ain't had sex with him, nor you have admitted that you want to. But all of your actions are speaking louder than words. But yet you on the phone with your so-called boo from 11 to 1 once a week. And half of that time, you watching TV. Let me just break it down to you.
I'll be glad when this time over with.
But when you get off the phone with him later on that night, you laying the clothes out on the bed. Getting on the phone, baby, I love you. Yeah, I love you. You know I love you. I really miss you. 1 o'clock come. He got to get off this phone now. I got to go. I gotta wash clothes. I love you though. Bye. But you ain't had to go. Now you're preparing yourself for that which is intriguing you because you're spending so much time with him that his ways are beginning to entice your ways. And if those don't know, I'm not talking about a worldly relationship. I'm talking about a spiritual relationship between the devil and God. You only spend 2 hours a week with him, and it's a long-distance relationship because you're not inside his face. But all through the week, you're spending it with the devil. Now you're wondering why it's like it is.
Father God, we'd like to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to just be here, to hear your word, to gain revelation, to understand that which you need us to have to be successful Christians into your walk, continuing to look over and guide us and lead us into our future, that we may obtain the destiny that you have purposed into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.